welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast, where we talk about, say with me, Latino everything. I'm your host, Crispin Valentin. Thank you very much for being here. And today we have an amazing, super amazing episode because we have an amazing individual. He is a mentor, author of over 30 books, speaker, influencer, creator of many companies, organization, one of them, Miguel Martin Education Center, a.k.a. MMEC. How would you pronounce that?
MEC.
LLC. He's originally from San Pedro Soloma, Huehuetenango, Guatemala.
Yes, sir.
It's a mouthful to say that.
Yes, San Pedro Soloma, Huehuetenango.
Huehuetenango.
Huehuetenango, Guatemala. Yeah. Huehuetenango, Guatemala.
Awesome. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for the invitation.
And we're going to go ahead and continue with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile. These ones are rapid-fire questions.
Preguntas al Chile.
Go ahead and do so right now. So you can check out the beautiful graphics Carlos put together. Maybe we'll throw the graphics or the bloopers or how my audio. I can't get an audio right today, but I'm going to get it right. ¿Estás listo? You ready?
Yes, but I have a question to
you.
Yes,
absolutely.
How will you translate Preguntas al Chile?
Yeah, you know, I've done that before. Questions al pepper. ¿Listo?
Yes, sir.
¿Tacos o tortas?
Tacos.
Okay. Corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
Corn.
Okay, so this one's going to be, and you're going to be familiar with this, tostadas o tamales?
Tamales, but the Guatemalan ones.
I was going to say,
yes.
Mexican tamales or Guatemalan tamales?
Guatemalan, yeah.
And what is the difference of Mexican tamales and Guatemalan tamales?
Well, in general, the Guatemalan tamales is with the banana
the banana leaf
exactly,
uh-huh.
And the Mexican one is with the corn leaf.
Yes,
even though Mexico all the way to the south, they kind of do the Guatemalan tamales.
Yes, they use,
or they say that Guatemalans do their tamales.
They do either the banana leaves or they use the corn the leaves. The green ones, they wrap
right,
them with that,
right.
Too.
Right, yes, yeah. Yes. But in general, Mexicans do a small tamale, and Guatemalans do is a bigger tamale.
Is your tamale close to the one from Honduras, which is like
yes.
a whole meal?
Yes,
it
yes,
has different
yes.
things?
Yes.
And what are some of the ingredients that you will find?
Ooh, wow. I was not ready for this, but I will try.
You're a pro.
Okay, so one of the mains or some of the ingredients?
Some of the mains... Both. Just a okay. little bit of both, one or two.
In general, I will say that you must have, it can be done from rice flour or corn flour.
Oh, wow.
From both.
Yeah, of course.
We even have another one, a third option, which is from potatoes.
Potato tamal.
Mm-hmm. Potato tamal, yeah. It has
good.
A name, but it's from potato, completely potatoes.
Gotcha.
Another thing that it has is... what we call a guiso, which is the main thing that goes inside, is called recado. Now, in Mexico, if you say recado, it's like leaving a message.
Leaving a message.
Right? But in Guatemala, it's close to what you call mole.
Mole.
Yeah. It's wow. close to that. Yeah, you know yeah, mole,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's close
sweet
to
sweet mole or spicy mole?
Spicy.
Spicy. I like the spicy better. Yeah. Okay, continuamos. Mexican coca o jarritos?
Wow. I will go for jarritos.
Jarrito?
Yes.
Okay. And there's another one you might like. Mole de plátano o atole de elote.
Oh, my goodness.
These are Guatemalan dishes, by the way.
So I will say both.
You like both?
Yes.
Not going to take
I don't
options.
Like both. I love both.
You love both yes. of them. That good.
So let me, I don't know if I
yeah,
can.
Yeah, of course,
okay.
of course. Go ahead.
I'm from Guatemala.
Yes.
Right? But it's funny, I'm married to a Mexican lady. And I'm in love, like literally, in love with mole. Mm. So I have tried all the moles. And if you ask me between tamal and mole.
That'll be hard.
Yes, and I think I will go for a mole.
Well, tamal de Guatemala, right?
No. You know, the Mexican mole. Yeah.
But I'm talking about the tamal you would choose.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But the tamal, I will go for the Guatemalan. Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, of course. I that's why I was throwing some of these questions in here, because I didn't know you were married to a Mexican lady. However, I knew that here in Texas, a lot of the cuisine is some of these, even if whether we want it or not.
Right, yeah.
But I know you went from Guatemala, so let me throw a different ones for you.
All right.
Okay, agua de horchata, Jamaica, o tamarindo.
I will go for tamarindo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Salsa verde, salsa roja.
Red.
Okay.
Roja.
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 Churros or flan? Do you know what those are?
Yes, I will go for flan.
Okay.
I'm not a sweet person. I don't eat sweet stuff.
I like sweet stuff. Yeah. I like sweet stuff.
I'm okay if there's no sweet.
And Valentina, Tapatio, Cholula, hot sauce. Do you like spicy?
Yes. Yeah, I love spicy, very hot. So, tapatio, no, no, I'm not a tapatio person.
Valentina?
No.
So you like prefer the regular natural salsa?
Oh, yes, 100%. Mejor? Yes, yes.
Favorite vegetarian watermelon dish? Which one would it be? Because I know you're vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian. So I will not say that there's a vegetarian watermelon dish because most of their dishes are with meat.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite one in general will be beans, rice, and a salad or fruit.
Nice.
Yes.
Awesome. You didn't know, I knew you were vegetarian. I'm vegan.
Yes. No.
Or I'm Mexican, but I don't eat any meat. Really? I'm for 5-6 years.
But you're vegan or you're vegetarian?
No, vegan.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It just happened. I didn't choose it. It chose me.
Who? The vegan, life?
Yeah, it did.
So, I have been 30 years vegetarian.
Wow.
10 of these 30, I was a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
But because I travel a lot and it requires more discipline, you know, you cannot eat everything.
Yeah.
I have chosen to be vegetarian.
That's awesome.
Which I love.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, and the last one. And most of these dishes, you can customize them to make them vegan or vegetarian.
Yes.
A lot of them. Conchas, the corn, the conchita breads, the pastries, the brown ones, the white ones, or the pink ones. Which ones do you like the best? You say you're not too much of a sweet guy.
Right. Okay, let's go for the red ones.
Okay, this one's going to be way different than all the other ones. A conspiracy theory.
Okay.
When you heard, you're like, oh, man, that has to be true. There's no way it's not true.
Okay.
Which one would that be?
Truth or a conspiracy?
A conspiracy theory, when somebody told it to you, it was like that. You know, conspiracy theory.
I would go for the truth.
The truth?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
No.
You'd rather not entertain conspiracy
theories? No, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do, but if I have to choose, I go for the truth.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
But I'm saying, when you heard it, even though it's a conspiracy theory, it's like, that could really be true. Any of them?
Oh.
Whether it be...
John F. Kennedy's
assassination? You think it was an inside job?
Oh, yes.
I can believe that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, and today, you know what? And I'm going to give you reasons why I will say yes. First, you either see movies.
Yeah.
Series. Today is like, it's documentaries. Today is like, whoever's behind those things, they are so open.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes,
I believe
you
so
know.
Too.
Conspiracy theories today are real.
Yeah,
but they love to keep that title for some people
because it doesn't. They still has that like it might not be true. So you're just like wondering,
or
mm-hmm.
it's true, but it's better to put that title.
Yeah. I see that. I can see that. Okay, so when you hear the word Latino or Latina, or I don't know if you care much for Latinx word, either way, what first comes to mind for you?
Latino. And I don't know if this is the place to say it, but I don't like to be called Latino X.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my issues with those that call Latino X
mm-hmm.
because it's a perversion of our culture. My opinion on that, and I have a very strong opinion
absolutely.
On that.
I mean, that's what we got a platform for, too. We respect everybody's opinion however they want to express themselves.
The people that start using Latino X are Latinos. They are not Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be fresitas. They want to be like we are different than those Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, they are destroyers of our culture, and in a way they are embarrassed to really be Latinos.
Mm.
For them it's so fancy, Latino sex. So that's my opinion, and honestly I don't like it. I'm offended if they use that.
I got you.
That word.
I never saw it that way, right? Whether people there are either of lighter complexion or maybe higher, a little bit income wise.
That's the group they use, Latino X.
They want to differentiate themselves from, because otherwise they're within us. Exactly. Still. They look like you and I, but they can't.
And let me share something there, and that's had been something that has inspired me to. Not to defend my culture, but to speak more of my culture, to represent Latinos.
Yeah.
Because I know that mentality, and they are in the corporate world. It's people that have more income.
Yeah.
It's people that have titles. It's people that have a position in government.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, they want to differentiate themselves from the real Latino. So I make a call here. Stop using Latino X. You are a Latino, a Latina. Somos Latinos, punto.
Mm, yeah. What do you say to the people that even have issue with the word Latino, because they feel that it's more of a colonizer type of term, when some of us might have native blood running through our veins and they feel like it was brought out by the colonizers to use that term, or the government to put us more in a group? What do you think about that?
Wow. Okay, so that's another issue too. Now you caught me. So there's another word.
Yes.
I don't know if you have it in your list there, and hopefully I'm not jumping ahead.
Yeah.
The word Hispanic.
Yeah, Hispanic.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's also a controversial issue between Latino and Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Also, yes, if you believe that you should not use that word, I'm okay with it, you know?
So the issue is whenever they're trying to force you to use this word on you, even though you don't want to use Latinx, like, you don't call me that because I don't want it.
Right.
You can call if you want to, stop using it,
right,
but don't force it on me, because it's not something that I
But I think
for.
In general that fundamentally Latino is a word that represents us.
Which is the Latin American.
Latin America. Latin America. Latam. Yes. So, and you're free to choose not to use that word, you know. But the question will be, what word will you use to say that you are from this Spanish culture, Hispanic culture, Latino culture? What will be the word?
Yeah, that's true. What would be the word? I guess it will be regional after that, but I feel like sometimes,
but then then you also have the option of, like in my case, if I don't want to use Latino, then I will use a very close word that represents my origins. That in this case, it will be, I'm a Guatemalan.
Guatemalan.
Yeah, I'm a Mexican. I'm a Colombian. I'm a Venezuelan. I'm a, then you can use that word, but you still a what? Hispanic?
Yeah.
Latino?
Speak Spanish, because you fall under the definition of somebody that's Hispanic, a Spanish-speaking individual, and you fall under Latino if you're from the region of Latin
but
America.
But if you will argue the Latino word, then I will argue your last names.
Oh, yeah.
You your will
whole,
be in trouble.
Your whole DNA. Where you all been? Like, you know, where you been?
But especially the last names, because last names come from these people that colonized us.
Yeah.
You know, the boss, the el jefe, el patrón, the one that came from whatever.
So if you want to start forming an opinion on this, make sure you change your last name. Denounce your last name.
Yes.
Change it. Yeah. Become free.
And please use one. In my case, I'm from Guatemala.
Yeah.
And our...
use two.
Nuestra raza, nuestra tribu.
Yes.
Our tribe is the Mayas. Los Mayas.
Yeah.
So, believe me, their last name was not Martin,
no,
which is my last name.
Oh, wow.
I have another last name, which is Sales. Sales. Sales.
And where's that one from?
From France.
France.
So, of course, I went and looked where Martin comes from, where Sales come from.
Yeah.
The Martins comes from the U.S.
Really?
Yes. And it goes down or back there to native people.
All the way to native people?
Yes.
Really?
And the Sales?
Yeah.
From French people. Yes. And, you know, French people are, did I say French people?
French people.
Yeah, French
some Franceses,
people, right?
You know.
Franceses, yeah. So they are mixed with a lot of black people. So, but I'm okay.
We're a combination of everything. We can't help it. 200.
But you love Gonzalez, right? You love Perez. You love.
Yeah, they do.
Martinez.
Mm-hmm. They do.
What is your last name, sir?
Camacho. Spaniard. Originally from Spain.
Exactly.
And Gutierrez, I think, is Switzerland or somewhere
around
there.
There you go.
Strange. Mm. Okay. So, but I still do want to take your take on the Latino when you hear the word Latino, because I think you brought up some really good things that I heard. When you first hear the word Latino, as far as for you, what does it mean to you? What does it come to mind?
It's like it brings my culture to life. Mm-hmm. It reminds me that I have a presence, mm-hmm. that I have a voice, mm-hmm. that I have power.
Gotcha.
That I have leadership mm-hmm. in my case.
I like it. I like it very much. Okay, let's start the interview. I like to do these fun questions to break the ice and be able to be more relaxed as far as the questions that I have for you, because you have an amazing story. Mm-hmm. You wrote over 30 books, 30 plus books. We'll get into all that. First of all, you mentioned earlier you're from Guatemala. Mm-hmm. Do you remember your journey over here? I was born in Mexico. I came over illegally when I was very young. I'm a citizen now. However, I made my way, but I kind of somewhat remember. Do you remember how old were you and how was your journey?
I have an idea. Yes. I was underage and my dad brought mm-hmm. me to the U.S. Of course, illegal. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started here.
Yeah. So you were too young to remember the journey at all?
No.
Because Guatemalans have it tougher whenever they have to cross not only their borders and Mexico borders.
It was difficult. It was hard. We had to cross the Mexico. Mm-hmm. And we went through a lot of trouble, a lot of issues. For example, we ended up with no money, a lot of thieves. We really suffer while we were crossing Mexico.
Really? There's a lot of people don't want to talk about that part because I think it's reality at the end of the day, right? Crossing not only Guatemalan border, but the Mexican border in Mexican land.
Oh, yeah.
They still have thieves. But don't it happens to our people too.
Yes.
But I know for a fact immigrants from Guatemala have it tough because mm-hmm. their journey still continues even to get to the U.S. border and you have to go through some of those things. So you got robbed a few times when you were there?
Yes, yes, yes. We ended up with no money because mm-hmm. of that.
Wow.
So it was very difficult. And
was there any resentment that you held towards the Mexican people at that time?
Yes and no. But, you know, as you grow, you uh-huh. learn that there are things you cannot avoid. You have to confront them, move forward, and I am grateful that, you know, I was able to cross Mexico, and today I'm married to a Mexican lady, mm-hmm. so, and I love Mexico, but it was hard, yes, mm-hmm. it was very hard.
Yeah.
One of my experience, you know, if you allow me to share.
Of course.
Apart from what I just said, we were very, very young when we were tried one time to cross, to come to the U.S., mm-hmm. we didn't made it. My parents couldn't made it. And
is that because of immigration or the journey was just too hard for them to continue?
So I'm going to share you what happened. Mm-hmm. There was a earthquake in Mexico.
1985.
85, okay. And we were literally in Mexico City. So everything was affected.
Yeah.
In general, like the roads, everything. Mm-hmm. And we were literally in Mexico City. We were underground when that happened.
Wow.
So nobody could continue to the north.
Continue.
Everybody started going, or in our case, we started going to the south. So that happened in one of the intentions to come to the U.S.
Wow.
So that's very, it really impacted my life. There's a story in Mexico that is called Los Tres Milagros, which was three babies that survived after days of the earthquake. Three babies. They were the only ones. So I call myself the fourth miracle. Because I don't know if you know Mexico City. I don't know if you know El Zócalo.
Yes.
Okay. So you know El Metro goes underground, right? When the earthquake happened, we were underground in El Metro. And I was there with my parents. When that happened, everybody, whoever can come out of that underground, they run outside. And I was left inside because I was sleeping.
Wow.
So my mother came back for me while the earthquake was going on.
Wow.
She decided to come back for me, grab me, and took me out of that place. So today, I call myself the fourth miracle.
Yeah.
So that's part of my journey to the U.S.
Yeah. You remember how old you were? Well, the first time, how old were you? And then the finally when you were successful?
Maybe eight. Yeah. Eight. And when we were successful, maybe I was 11, 12.
Yeah. How did it feel to get to the U.S.? Because I know when I was growing up, a lot of times it was hurry up to try to learn the language. Not to mention the kids. Being kids, being mean because you didn't know the language. And, of course, just everything, like the people. Like, I never seen a Caucasian, a white person, redheaded person, black person in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing them. And the first time I ever seen them is Carrusel de las Americas, the novela, you know. So it's like a shock.
Right.
And not to mention, sometimes you've been trying to suppress who you are because at the same time, you don't want to be seen different. Do you run into those situations?
Yes, 100%, you know, the color of the people, the difference of the country. We were coming from a very, very small town. So imagine, we hardly see a commune in our lives.
In your life.
So we were already impacted while we were crossing Mexico, because Mexico was the newest thing for us.
Yeah.
Imagine the U.S., at our age or my age. So yes, I was impacted. I was shocked. But we love it, you know. And we try, or I try to learn the language. I couldn't learn the language at that age because I have issues at school, and my family had issues that we had to go back to our country. So I was not able to learn English at school. And it was later on that I ended up learning English by myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how did you learn English by yourself? So you were in Guatemala when you did it, or on here?
No, it was here. Learning? It was here.
Inglés sin barreras o otra cosa?
It was work.
Work?
Yes.
Really?
I had to look for work. And the area where we were, I was underage, you know, but we were in need. So I ended up looking for a job. But I couldn't find a job because I didn't know English. I didn't spell or speak no word. So the first word that I learned was work.
That's the first word you remember learning, work.
And then from there, I start learning more words. And I know my English is not perfect, but what I do today, or the English that I know today, or the English that I use to communicate myself here, is from the street. Street, reading, and learning from
others. But at the end of the day, just... At the end of the day,
it was,
the idea
it was not English sin barreras.
But igual, the point is to learn how to communicate, even, right? If you might feel like it's not like accurate or the perfect English or whatever, you know, at the end of the day, we can still able to communicate in English. Podemos hacerlo español, but
I'm okay.
An amazing job. Okay, so starting off from humble beginnings, from cutting fruit to selling ice cream to cutting grass, doing all that. Where does one begin to start the journey of like, you know what, there has to be more than just doing this? Where did the light bulb moment go, the event that made you decide, you know what, I need to begin to do and focus on different things that led you to a journey of where you're at now and the things that you have accomplished?
So it was a whole process. Mm-hmm. I have never shared this in no book, no interview, no video. Nowhere, but mm-hmm. I think I'm going to share it here.
I appreciate it very much.
So, I met a young, I was around 12, I think, mm-hmm. and I met this little girl or young lady, you know, mm-hmm. and I liked her, but her father was a lawyer. So from that point, there was already a separation. Yep. And even though, you know, that was, I was very young, so. But I remember that was something that encouraged me. I want to become someone in life so I can reach that girl.
Hmm.
And that was one of the things that kind of opened my mind to look for something different in life.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened is that when I was able to come to the U.S., it was through or with my dad. But for some mysterious reason, mm-hmm. he decided to leave me alone in the U.S. and he left.
So you were young?
Yes.
How old were you then?
Around 12.
And he just left?
Yes.
Are you serious? Well, he was trying to teach you a lesson?
I don't know until this day. He died, but so I don't know.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
But he never actually tell you?
No, never, never. So he left me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of pushed to learn things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had three brothers, one sister. And I had to take care of them. So I started working to help them in our country, mm-hmm. including my parents. You know?
Of course.
But those were the things that really impacted me or encouraged me or pushed me to, you know, say, I have to do something in life. I have to become someone so I can, at that time, so I can provide, so I can help my family. And those were the main three things that really impacted me to say I want a different life.
Yeah. And what were the first few things that you tried out that might have not worked for you, that you gave it a go until you started finding what actually worked for you? What were they?
So, in general or?
In general.
I started a small business and it didn't work out.
What was it?
Buying used computers and phones and resell them.
It's the Mr. Von Ahn recapture guy.
Okay.
He's from Guatemala. He was into computers too.
Right? Oh, really?
So it's crazy. Yes. Yeah, I like computers over there in Guatemala.
I failed on that one.
You didn't like it? It didn't just lead you nothing. There was.
He left me experience, but okay. But I didn't make it.
So that was your first official business that didn't work out?
I would not call it the first official one because I called my first official business was that was selling fruit.
Selling fruit.
Which I did well.
Mm-hmm.
My second official business, I will say it was landscaping, which I did well.
Mm-hmm.
My third official business will be the one that I'm mentioning, but I failed.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I try different things, including multi-level.
Multi-level.
And I did okay, but I didn't win more than just okay.
Which ones were the ones that you tried at the time? Because there's Amway, there's, you know, just name it. There's different ones.
I will not name them.
Okay.
Because it was a few of them.
Okay.
But I did try multi-level.
Yeah. Was there any experience that you got from there that seen something that helped you develop what you're doing now?
I will say it add to my experience of developing myself, but it was not like a big impact because that was not my real calling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if I will look for another main issue that impacted me and business, I will say that it was speakers, authors. Mm-hmm. And that's where I came to my, I will say, the biggest challenge of my life. Because at that point, I decided to start writing.
Mm.
But I was working for a organization.
Right.
Which I didn't know that I signed something that said that I couldn't represent myself or do something by my own, yeah, except of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote one book, two books, three books, five books, and I couldn't publish them.
Because of that paperwork that you signed for, yes, that company, yes, for a certain amount of time, or was no, it just while you were employed?
While I was employed.
Mm.
So I had to make a decision. And the decision was, you either forget about being an author and speaker,
mm-hmm,
or you have to resign to your job and see what you can do with your books.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I resigned. I fired them.
You fired them? That's great. And what was the first book that you wrote for you, and what made you want to decide to write a book? I know that you were in there, but just taking, everybody can probably take their story and make it, but there's only a few that actually get to do it. And not to mention the overwhelming things that go running through your mind, like, oh, what's it going to take? Like, I know I got a great story, but where do I even begin to start writing a book?
So when my first challenge there was that when I started writing, right,
mm-hmm,
is that to begin, I didn't spoke well Spanish,
mm,
because I was from one of the 21 tribes in Guatemala.
Hmm.
My tribe is called Canjobal.
Canjobal, that's the name of your tribe.
Yes, and language.
Mm-hmm.
And so my parents, they speak that language.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that was the first thing I learned.
Wow. So you speak three languages now? Or you not, well, so fresh on the
I'm not fresh on the first one, because, mm-hmm, I had to learn the Spanish one that became the main one.
Yeah.
And then I learned English, and I have learned a few other, at least I understand other languages. Good. Including the first one, which I understand perfectly.
Great.
But so my first problem was that I didn't know much Spanish words.
Mm.
So I came to a friend and I said, hey, what do I need to do to write a book? What do I need to learn? He said, well, you need to go to school. I said, well, I can't.
I ain't got time.
Exactly. So he said, well, you know, those people that write books, they know a lot. So find a way to know a lot.
Mm.
And that's how I learned that reading was going to give me the chance to know enough to start. So I started reading books. And one of the first books that I read was from Mr. John Maxwell,
mm-hmm,
Bring the Leader in You, or Bring Out the Leader in You. It was in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And that book really changed my life, because I learned words, and then I was also inspired to become a leader.
Yeah.
But another friend told me, you know what? You need to read a dictionary. So I went to the store. I bought a dictionary this side, and I started reading the dictionary like eating tamales or mole
every day
and night. And from that moment, I decided that I was going to read. So at that time, I was working from 7 to 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
I got up at 5, get ready at 6, take my bike, ride 1 hour. From 6 to 7,
mm-hmm,
right back home. From 5 to 6, 6 to 7, I shower, eat. At 9 p.m., I was studying. reading books to 3 a.m. for 1 year.
Ouch.
And that's how words start popping up out of my mind and brain. And suddenly I start writing.
Just like that.
Just like that.
And what was the name of your first book that you wrote? Because now you have, I'm sorry for the interruption. You have over 30, but what is the exact number now? And some of them are within the team. Some of them not specifically yours, but some of them
31.
Are 31 total. Yes. Nice.
So the first one, I will say it in Spanish first.
Mm-hmm, claro.
It's called Como Cristiano, Como Joven Cristiano Caí, Pero Me Levanté.
Mm.
Which if we translate it, it will be as a Christian, as a young Christian.
As a young Christian, I fell.
But I get up.
But again. I got up.
I got up again.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, why that book?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was a Christian. In my opinion, I left the faith,
mm-hmm.
and I was restored. So the knowledge that I have at that time, it was of the belief in God, you know, of belief on a faith on your own religious concept,
right?
And that was big for me, and it still is. That was my first book,
mm-hmm.
So. What I thought there, or in other words, I start basically writing how I fail, how I got up, how I start again, how I start believing in God and believing in His Word. That was my main concept of the book.
Yeah.
Which I had the intention to inspire other young people that had left God or the church or the faith.
Got it.
That was my first book.
And how did you figure the other stuff? Like, now you got the part where you can write, words are coming out, but where do you go to take the first step to try to even learn how to publish a book? Where, what even publishing means?
All right. So just for clarification, today, of course, I write different subjects, like leadership, entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. Sales, marketing, philosophy, finances, personal finances. But all this was a process. So I started with a religious concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, hey, I know a lot of religious people, they can buy my book, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So, but I was wrong.
Do you think
nobody bought my books?
You think because
from our faith, from our church?
Because do you think because your intentions was, even though you were inspired, you thought it was going to help people, but the monetary part was the thing that you kind of sort of wanted to do too, that maybe didn't work out, or just for whatever reason the Christian was not able to welcome you with that book?
I believe they didn't welcome me with that book.
Why is that?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. To this day, you wouldn't know? You never asked? You never rehearsed something?
Yes. Today, I know. At the moment, I didn't. And today, you see, because when I started writing books and when I started the life of a speaker and a...
Yeah.
It was speaker, not mentor at that time. I started with a secular concept. You know, mm-hmm. those that are from the church will understand that you have the spiritual section or the spiritual, the religious concept.
Right.
You know, and the secular concept, which simply means that this is from the church and this is from the professional way or a way where you don't include God.
Mm-hmm.
So my people were seeing me doing a secular thing, trying to bring it to the spiritual people. So they didn't see me in a good light.
I get you.
You know, they honestly thought that I was doing a wrong thing, which they still believe. If you go to your church and you start any business, which is not preaching, which is not singing, which is not just being in the church 24/7, anything else they think is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they still have that concept, most mm-hmm. of the religious people yeah. or religions. So I had to encounter that problem. And that was the reason I was not accepted at that time. But later on, I keep writing books. One of the other books was about the power of the mind. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote about leadership. And then I wrote about discipline. And then I wrote about the power of decision. And I noticed that I was welcome in the secular because I was also, I didn't know who was my...
Your target audience at that time?
Exactly, my mercado, mm-hmm.
Your market.
My market, mm-hmm. You know? So I learned it while I was writing my books. And I learned and see that the secular world were open to my writings, mm-hmm. which are based with the Bible, on the Bible. And a Christian believes. Mm-hmm. So I say, okay, so let me try. Let me go and keep writing for them. And they have welcomed all my writings, including the first one.
Wow.
But today, of course, now they welcome me. My church welcomed me. People of faith welcome me. They welcome me. They like me. They love me. Because now they say, oh, look, we have a someone that believes in God, a person of faith who is successful out there, and praise God and praise the Lord. And
but I needed you when I was in need.
Exactly. And I think everybody goes through that, you know, that experience where mm-hmm. if it's not the church, it will be your family, it will be your wife, it will be your husband. Someone will say, you know what, I don't believe in you. No matter what you do, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Today, I am happy and I will encourage whoever is trying to do something. Whatever you believe, it's good when they say they don't believe in you, because you will find someone or a market that will believe in you, in your product, your service, your leadership, your philosophy. And then from there, you can allow what you decide to do.
Awesome. Let's backtrack on the logistics, though. So you write the book and everything, but how is it? Where did you read where to go to find a publisher to put out the book?
So
thank you very much for checking out this episode. Make sure you hit the subscribe notification bell. And now back to the podcast.
There is, to put it in a very basic words and very simple, there's two ways you can do it. Mm-hmm. The conventional way and the independent way. That's how we call it. And hopefully I'm translating correctly the words, because I'm thinking in Spanish, but I'm translating it to English. So the conventional, to do it in the conventional way, you need two things. Mm-hmm. You either are famous or you have money. If you are famous, the editorial or the publishing houses, they will offer it to you because they know they can make money with you or off you.
It's easy already. Yeah, just give you a ghostwriter.
Yeah, yeah.
Sit down with your story and boom, wrap it up.
Yes, and they will make sure people will buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why a lot of the people that we call bestsellers, that's what happened with them. You know, and they are just getting a little bit of that income.
Or they're buying their own books and then giving them away.
Right.
To be a bestseller.
Yes, and if you have the money, let's mm-hmm. say you're not famous, but you have the money. Mm-hmm. Then you just pay the publishing house, and they will do it for you because they will get paid. Mm-hmm. And most people is in that section. Mm-hmm. They get the money or have the money, and they pay them, and they make their books. And the other option, which is the option that I start practicing, was the independent publisher or mm-hmm. Independent publishing, which is simple means that you do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, there are different venues that you can do it yourself. One is there's also agencies mm-hmm. which understand the concept and they help you with a minimum amount of money, mm-hmm. which is a way that I recommend because you can afford it, it's not complicated, and you will make money if your writings are good and if your writings are welcome. Second option is you can do it yourself, but you have to learn all the process. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, one of the The ways you can do it is you can publish your book in Amazon.
Amazon.
All right. And I can say it to you and you can say it to me and I can tell, say it to your public, but you need to know how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to know that, you know, you can take a flight to Los Angeles, but how to reach to the airport, how to buy the ticket, yep. What time, this and that, you need to learn it. Either someone guides you or you need to learn it. Mm-hmm. So there's also those two options. And there are other options that you can do yourself independently, but you need to learn the process.
Yeah. And so, once you learn it, you just repeat for your next books and next
book. Basically, yes. Mm-hmm. Basically, yes. So that's what I did. I did search for help. I searched for publishing houses. It was too expensive. Mm. So I said, okay, if I cannot do it through them, I'm going to learn how to do it independently. And it took me, in my case, it took me years. Because remember, I started writing in 19... I think I started writing in 2000.
And when was the first book that came out? What year was that?
Oh, I don't have it exactly right now on my mind, but at least it took me like 7 to 10 years.
7 to 10 years.
To learn how to publish.
Learn.
Yes, because today there are so many options.
Yeah.
And very... I would say simple options if you know how to do it. But in my time, even though it was independently, you have to learn it. And it was a long process. It was so many requirements. Yeah. Apart from the system, there was a lot of requirements. Mm. And I had to learn all that to publish my first book.
And finally, how did it feel to get the feeling of your first book?
So... let me tell you what I did, and this may help people, you know. The first time that I had the feeling of how, you know, when you have a book or at least a copy of your book, mm-hmm. I went to, it was called Kinko's.
Yep, I remember that.
You remember? Mm-hmm. You know, which is today FedEx, right?
FedEx.
Yeah. So someone told me, hey, Have you written your book? Mm-hmm. Yes. Where? Well, in a book note. Okay, you need to put it in the computer. And I said, what is that?
Wow.
You imagine.
Yeah.
In those days.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, so let me start doing it. So I wrote it first in a notebook, and then I had to write it in the computer. Mm-hmm. You know, those big computers of those days. And finally, I had a copy on the computer. But at that time, I was still learning how to publish it, a real book. Mm-hmm. So this friend said, go to Kinko's. Just tell them you want a copy of this file. So I went to Kinko's. I said, I want a copy of this file.
Wow.
And they make me a copy. And I say, can you please make this look like kind of like a book? And they say, yeah, we can try. And they did it.
Just like that.
Just like that. That was the first time that I say, wow, okay, I'm moving forward with my book, you know. And it looked like a book, but mm-hmm. It was not a book.
It's not a book.
So that was the first time that I had a good feeling, a satisfaction that I was doing something mm-hmm. in the direction of being an author, of writing books. Then I learned. I don't know if you know, but today, you know, a lot of people can go to Amazon's or other venues. But before Amazon, it was different agencies and different organizations and ways of doing it. Mm-hmm. So what Amazon did was that they bought
all those.
Some of these companies.
The smaller ones.
Right. And in those times or those days, they were also trying to survive with the independent community, mm-hmm. because it was not it was good for us, but it was not good for them. Mm-mm. Because there was not a lot of people believing in that concept. Yeah. Today, it's a great business.
Yeah, it is.
So that's part of my story of how I start writing books and how I start publishing a book.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And when do you, after doing that process, it seems that you learn how to organize, how to create organizations. You created.
Yes. So how did I learn or how I started?
Both.
Okay, so let me share here a little bit of story to come to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I start being a normal employee. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Empleado?
9 to 5, yeah, employee. Yeah,
okay, employee. Employee,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was just a normal worker in a mobile home company in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Let me correct that part. I started working in landscaping in a company.
Mm-hmm.
One person one day saw my work and said, can you come to my house and do something for me on landscaping? And I said, yes. I went in a weekend. So I was working in the landscaping company during the week. And in the weekend, I went to his house, which was a millionaire. Guy. Wow. He said, I like the way you do your work. I have a company, a mobile home company. We do this and that there. Would you like to come and work for me? I say, yes. I will pay you a little bit more. I say, okay. So I went.
You don't have to be in the sun.
Exactly. And so he moved me from the landscaping to his company. At that company, They put me to start cleaning, like literally, cleaning, picking up the trash, and moving things here and there. And then he, the owner, said, "I want you to put this guy on the on checking, cleaning, and checking the quality of the parts."
Inspector.
Yes, and. He put me there for maybe 2 years. Basically, I was growing. He wanted to develop me. And this is a real story.
Mm-hmm.
The managers and the leaders that were there, which were Latinos, they got jealous. Because he was the owner, not the manager. The owner was always checking on me. And he was happy with my work. So I don't know what happened, but I think the committee the committee of the company, the executives.
The committee.
Yeah. Whatever report they got from me, they decide that they were going to fire me. So the owner came and said, I'm so sorry, but I cannot do nothing. And I don't know what these people did. And because they have been here for a lot of years, I have to let you go. But you have potential. Don't ever stop believing in you.
Yeah.
So I was fired that day.
Where do you think that comes from? Because you're not the first one. And there's a lot within the Latino community, Mexican community, Guatemalan community, whatever it may be, that it gets that weird thing of like, we do not allow each other to.
It's a culture thing. It's like we have it there like a tattoo. Mm-hmm. Como se dice tattoo in English?
Tattoo
or like a stamp there.
Like a stamp, tattoo. Yeah,
we have practiced that so much that we don't even notice. We get jealous if you grow, if you have successes. Mm-hmm. It's like me. I have programs like yours too. But I'm happy that you have your program, that you are growing, that you are bringing these stories to the community. Mm-hmm. I love to see people grow and have success. Latinos or anybody, But I have to confess, I did struggle too of allowing myself to recognize the success of other Latinos. I had to learn to celebrate with them, even though I was not invited.
What was the benefit for you at that time, whenever you did that? And what that made you change your mind?
Well, I learned it.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't came one day and say, oh, I'm going to celebrate the success of John or Peter or Latinos, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I learned it. And I want to say this from the Anglo community. I learned it from the Anglo community. at least in my experience, I saw that, you know, they celebrate together the success of others. Mm. And then, of course, reading books, listening to so many trainers and speakers, and I love the concept of mentors. So through them, I learned the concept that if you celebrate, you yourself will grow and have that or more success.
So the benefit, whether you realize it or not, was growth.
Oh, too. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So you get fired.
I got fired, but this is the best of the best of the story. Hallelujah, there was fire. Amen. Next day, I went to the corner, literally, to wait for someone to pick me up.
To go work.
And someone came and said, hey, you want to work for me? I said, yes, sir. Oh, you speak English? Well, a little bit, poquito. Do you speak? Yes. Do you speak English? Yes. Do you have papers? Well, I can work legally, mm-hmm. And I did, and I can explain later how I became legal. It was a process. It was not like the resident, but I did have something that allowed me to work.
Nice.
And he loved it. He loved it or loves it?
He loved it.
And then loved it. And then the same day, he said, please do this for me. Can you drive? I say, yes. Okay, go and do this for me. And I say, are you sure? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Take the truck.
Wow.
So next day, I was already employed again. And I was making like three times more than what I was making in that place because the owner was a roofing company, mm-hmm. owner. And he put me in charge of almost 100 persons.
Because you knew English, some English.
Yes. And I also believe that I was developing leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I got a great job. Next day, I was in charge of a company.
Nice.
And later on, I moved to another company, a roofing company. And then I got a proposal from a small company, but related to religion or
yes
or spiritual concept. And they say, you know what, we would like you to help us here and we can pay you. And I help them to develop their group and their church. And then another organization saw that on me and they say, we would like to hire you. And for 20 years, I was hired by different organizations, profit and nonprofit, to develop their people.
Hmm.
And I grew so much. I became a leader. I end up being executive. I end up being in boards. I end up being a representative of these organizations locally, then on the state, then national. And then one company saw my potential and they say, you know what, we want to send you to this country, that country. And I start traveling all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day, I said, there's no more place for me here. And part of that was that I couldn't do nothing in my name except for them.
That's what that came into.
And that's where I say, you know what? It's time to for a change. And I pray. I make a decision. I went to the board and I say, here's my resignation letter. Thank you very much. I'm gone. And I left.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a dream. And my dream was, I want to publish my books. I cannot believe that I have this talent and nobody knows about me and my books.
Right.
And I don't think I have this gift just because. I have it because I can bless people. I can help people. And I was like eager to do something with my books. but I didn't know how. When I left, when I fired them, and I fired myself, and I left them, I learned one thing that a lot of people don't, they haven't learned in their work right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially executive people, especially those that have everything from the companies.
Wow.
My car, it was their car. The house I was in, it was their house. Computers, phones, credit cards, everything was there. It was them.
Yeah, it was theirs.
It was theirs. It was not mine. But I didn't know. I learned it until that day. I say, I'm leaving.
Say, oh yeah, well, give us the car.
Do you think they had mercy on me?
No. They're going to take everything.
Incredible. They forgot that I was working there for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can laugh on this, and I will say it in Spanish, and you can translate it. Mm-hmm, okay.
Claro.
And or you can choose not to put it in your podcast.
We're going
to
keep everything.
Okay, so I learned, mm-hmm. aprendí.
You learned.
Que lo único que era mío hasta ese punto.
The only thing that was yours was.
Eran mis calzones.
His underwears. His undergarment is the only thing that belonged to him.
Hasta los sacos eran de ellos.
The suits were his too.
Increíble.
The suits were theirs too. He didn't have but his underwear.
That's how I started from zero again. So at this point, I said, okay, I have tried being employed, multi-levels, small businesses here and there. What can I do? I don't want to go back to the same life. I don't want to go back there. I have potential. How it is that I have grown so many organizations?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was like that, like for 1 year. No work, no income, no nothing. Broke. Sorry.
You good?
And struggling. Why I decide to leave my job? Why? And I was also married. So imagine, you mm-hmm. know, all that together.
The wife wants to know what you're doing. It's a year you haven't worked.
So my question, and I believe in the power of questions. Okay. I'm not the one that came with the power of questions. I learned it from others. And one of them is Tony Robbins. I learned mm-hmm. from him the power of questions. And today I love the concept. I write about the power of questions. You know, if you can just learn how to ask. Or not even how to ask, just to ask. You will learn how to ask. And then you will get answers on your questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I start asking myself, how can I become a leader? How can I have influence in people? How can I bless people? How can I bring help to people, resources to people? And have my own income, my own happiness, satisfaction. And how can I create a legacy
mm-hmm.
if I die? So for 1 year, I was thinking, praying, reading, no answer. So I said one morning, it was 3 a.m. I call it in Spanish, la hora del gladiador.
Mm-hmm.
The time of the gladiator.
Yeah.
Because I have a concept of being a gladiator. Un gladiador.
Mm-hmm.
I am un gladiador. So between, I couldn't sleep that night. I was awake 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I asked God, how can I become someone that can bless this world? I want to bless the world. I want to explode my potential. I want to have satisfaction. I want to make money, but I also want to make money helping people. And if I die, I want my name to keep speaking for me. How can I create a legacy? And God spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't ask me if it was a dream, a vision, or he physically came and spoke to me.
Or a whisper.
I cannot explain that part.
Mm-hmm.
I can only say God spoke to me. And this was his message. He said, Miguel, education. Education will give you satisfaction today, will give you the opportunity to help people, mm-hmm. not only on this earth and time, but also for eternity. It will give you money. And if you do it well, you're going to create your own legacy. And that morning at 3 a.m., my first organization was created, Miguel Martin Education Center, MEC.
MEC.
And that's how I began my first organization.
And you started building it, made it an yes. LLC.
Oh, yeah.
And then now yes. you have a website, you have everything else included. Yes. Yes. And you have to learn that yourself. Do you have people
yes.
too?
Yes.
All that is you.
Yes, I started. And you know, in everything, the first thing will take time, mm-hmm. you know, to learn it. I look for help. I was helped. And I end up creating which today is MEC, Miguel Martin Education Center, where we do three things. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe, I will say it first in Spanish, mm-hmm. despertando conciencias, educando líderes,
educate leaders,
and creando nuevos futuros.
Create new futures.
Ese es nuestro lema. Mm-hmm. That's our team. After I got the name, or I was inspired to create it, to start the process of creating, right. which today is a very, very important organization in the United States. For Latinos.
Yeah, you've been awarded pins by NASA, the White House.
Yes, sir.
Is that because of the work that you have done?
Yes, yes. As a leader, helping Latinos, our organizations, our platforms. And you know, those pins, you cannot just get it.
Can't buy them on Amazon.
No, or you cannot just go and fix a picture in Google. You know, you have to do something to call these organizations or the government attention. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's because of what we have done through our organizations for Latinos that I have been awarded with different awards.
How long has your company been in formation and going?
Officially, 7 years.
7 years.
But I will say around 10 years if I include other periods of time.
When did you start noticing where you were getting attention from the government and different organizations to know that you were doing? And what are some of the examples that they gave you, they told you about? They're like, hey, this is the reason why we're coming to you, because we see what you're doing.
So
whether it be an individual.
First I want to clarify one thing. Why mm-hmm. The second part of why MEC. Mm-hmm. So one day, I was already an author. I was already giving conference and speeches and talking, you know, sharing my concept. But one day I saw that there were two groups of Latinos. The professional ones, the successful ones, the rich Latinos, mm-hmm. and the common Latinos, the poor Latinos, the normal Latinos. And I say, these two groups are separated.
Yeah.
So I say, how can I bring them together? Mm-hmm. And I started what we call today Conferencias MEC. So I say, okay, this group of Latinos needs the resources, but they cannot pay it. And they need these resources to be successful. Mm-hmm. So how can I bring the successful ones to talk to them? So I went to them and I invited them and I say, hey, remember where you're coming from. Remember that you were there too. Can you please, you know, share with us how you made it, how you were able to scale, to grow, to come to the level where you are today? At the beginning, it was not easy because nobody believed in me. Nobody knew about my organization. Mm-hmm. So I struggled, but I was able to make one say yes. So this one came. So I gathered some Latinos here, and I brought this Latino, very successful. And then from there, the second one came, the third one, the fourth one. And that's my model. I bring to my platforms Latinos that are successful, very yeah. successful in the community, in the corporate world, in the finances, in government, in whatever area that the Latino is having success, you know, I bring them to our platform. So that's how the educational part grew and developed through the MEC conference that we held today.
Nice.
Did I answer?
And as far as, and that's what got attention from you, from the government and other organizations?
Yeah, so the reason I was sharing this to you is because this, that was how these people saw what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And one day, that was the first reason, how they saw what I was doing. The second reason is serving, like literally saying, I'm going to go serve the community. So I started serving the community. I went in alone with the group, with organizations, to take food to the people, help the people, bring clothes to the people. One time and other times also, but specifically this time, a Mexican family called us and said, listen, my family, my sibling died, and we need to take it to Mexico. We don't have no money. Can you please help us? And I end up helping them, and more people knew. Guatemala had an issue. We helped Guatemala. Remember the hurricane in Houston?
Harvey.
Yes, we helped there. We helped Florida. Remember the earthquakes in Mexico? Mm-hmm. We have helped them. So we start. We didn't start doing things because when it called their attention. No. This is a calling. I love helping the people, in this case, Latinos. And by doing this, the attention of whoever saw us doing these things were called, like consulates, ambassadors, politicians, leaders. So one day, which is, this is how I end up in another levels of recognition. Mm-hmm. So one day, a friend called me and said, Miguel, do me a favor. Please allow this lady to speak in your platform, in your conference. And I will be honest to you, and I say, no, I don't know the lady.
Yeah.
You know, we have said that we will only bring people that we know, and we will bring people that are proven to be successful. And he insisted, please, she needs your help. She needs your platform. She needs to reach people. Okay, so what does she want? I'm going to do it only for you. Mm-hmm. Well, she's helping little kids. She's helping the community with this and that. So she just want to come and present it to the people. I said, okay, let's do it. I allow her to come to our meeting, to our conference, and she spoke. And she asked for help, and the people responded. And that was it. Months later, she called me back and said, Miguel, I just want to say thank you very much, because that opportunity really helped us. So today, I just don't want to say thank you. Mm-hmm. Quiero decirte gracias. Or in other words, I want to say thank you, but also I want to ask you, how can I help you? And I told her, lady, thank you, but at this time you cannot help me. She said, why? Oh, because what I'm looking, you cannot help me. So what do you need? And I say, I need either a senator or a millionaire person. Say, anything you need, I can look, I can get it for you. So I say, what? Yes, I can get it for you. Because I was looking for speakers. Mm-hmm. And I needed that kind of people at that conference. She says, don't worry. Tell me who you want of the senators and I will bring it to you. I was shocked.
Did she deliver?
She said, give me 3 days. It was not even 24 hours. She called me and she said, I have the person.
Why do you want to have that particular person in your platform?
Because I needed this. I needed the story and the concept of this Latino at that level, which I didn't have access to.
Because you tried, they were not giving you the time of day?
Yes, remember, there are levels. Mm-hmm. And And there's ways to reach to certain people. And I was not in a level to have access to them. So she said yes, and she delivered. The person came. It was great.
Awesome.
Then this person liked what I did, that I invited him to our conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, how can I help you? And that's how the doors were open to other levels of leadership opportunities and recognition. And I will say that that was the line how I reach up, how I reach to different organizations, leaders at Washington, D.C., La OEA. I don't know if you know the OEA.
Sounds familiar.
Son las... la organización centroamericana.
Mm-hmm.
O sea, es la organización que reúne a todas las naciones centroamericanas.
This is the organization that unifies all the South American Central American countries.
Or kind of Latino countries.
Mm-hmm. Latino countries.
In Washington, D.C. to solve mm-hmm. their problems.
Gotcha.
So it's called La OEA.
La OEA. I heard of it before.
Yeah, it's a big, big, big mm-hmm. organization. So I was invited to that organization because of all this work. I was invited to represent Latinos to the headquarters of immigration in Maryland.
Oh, wow.
I was, and not just invited, like, you know, come and take a picture. No, we were in committees or pronuncialo.
Committees.
Committees.
Mm-hmm.
Representing Latinos, and mm-hmm. we went and discussed issues of immigration and visas and things related to immigration. I was invited also to the White House. To the White House, first I was invited to the Capitol, then to the State Department. I was invited to the Congress or el Senado?
Mm-hmm. Senate.
The Senate?
The Senate.
And then, finally, I was officially invited into the White House,
mm-hmm.
which is different.
Yeah.
So the White House is not the other departments that I mentioned, you know. And again, I was in a committee, you know, to discuss issues of Latinos and problems of Latinos. And I was able to share my understanding and opinion and how to better things for Latinos.
Wow.
And I always love to say this, you know, there's the East Wing and the West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were invited at the West Wing, which is the president office, the vice president office. And we were there with their representatives, and it was a big, big and great meeting.
Amazing.
So thanks to this concept of education, thanks to the concept of serving. And I will also honor thanks to the concept of Latinos, because it's funny, you know, and I don't defend Latinos because of my awards and where I have reached. Even if I will not be awarded, even if I will not reach these positions and areas, I will still do it because I really believe into it.
Mm-hmm.
And just to add to this, the latest things that happened, I was in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I was not expecting this invitation. So someone contacted me and said, Miguel, we have seen what you're doing, and we will have what is called in Spanish, la Cumbre Mundial de la Equidad, de la Educación, de la Cultura, de la Igualdad y de la Paz, with delegation of all the world.
Wow.
Where? Not just in Mexico. It was in the House of Senadores, in La Cámara de Senadores, of the government of Mexico. So, you know, I'm honored. I'm grateful. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. And I'm inspired to say that thanks to Latinos,
mm-hmm.
I have been able to serve and to help and also to accomplish my own dreams. And if you allow me, and yeah. it's up to you and go your ahead. Questions.
Go ahead.
One day, and I just want to share this as a lesson to anybody or everybody, you know, any who wants to learn or everybody that wants to listen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we ask ourselves, why he's having too much success and not me? Because maybe you are doing something, but nobody recognizes you.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's not your time. When the time comes for you to be recognized or to applaud you or to someone to say thank you, it will come and nobody can stop it. So I went through that feeling. I saw how my friends were being recognized. And in my opinion, I was doing more.
Mm-hmm.
So one day a friend, he told me, Miguel, don't worry, man. Just keep doing what you're doing.
It's not your time.
It's not your time. Yes, it's not your time. When your time will come, nobody mm-hmm. will be able to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 year, three friends were being recognized, big recognitions. I was hurt. I'm confessing, I was hurt. And I say, okay, it's not my time. I will accept it's not my time. I applaud them. I say, man, great for you guys. It's not my time. And they hug me and say, man, your time is coming. I went back to what I call at that time my office, which was the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote in a book, in my notebook, in my agenda, and I put in big letters, I will be recognized, but not here. I will be recognized in the White House. Which it was something impossible for me. I didn't have this experience. I was not growing to these levels. I didn't have no connections. It was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was impossible, that's why I was writing it. And when the day came, it was so possible, so easy. You know, last month?
Last month?
Last 2 months.
June and May?
June.
Mm-hmm, June.
So last month,
mm-hmm.
I received a call. Big leader. Hey, Miguel, we can have this event and we want to invite you again. Okay, where? The White House. Friend, I'm so thankful, but I think I cannot make it this time. So I want to put this in the perspective that now I have the honor, in a way, to say thank you, but I will not come. I'm not able to come. It's amazing, you know, how
to say that you're a little bit, you know, got things going on now for you that you are able to, even though you wanted to be there, you did that. Maybe somebody else can get that opportunity for you.
Yes, yes. So of course, I was scheduled for something else.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited for other events, other situations. But now that I'm thinking on that invitation, it's like, wow, I was able to say no, thank you. Not this time.
Wow.
So, you know, and that can happen with money, with your goals, with your vision, your desire, with your desperation. You know, even with marriage. When it's not your time, it's not your time. But when your time comes and is your time, nothing can stop it.
Yeah.
So that's part of my story, and I'm so happy. You know, people say that I'm so humble they use this statement.
Gotcha.
I'm so humble to be honored this way. And Miguel Martin say, no, I'm not humble. I'm proud. I'm proud that I have grown and developed and come to this point or these levels of leadership, influence, results, because it's possible.
Yeah.
And just to add and close this section is mm-hmm. not everything is money. And not everything is cars. And not everything is positions. And not everything is marriage. I want to leave that clear because a lot of podcasts promote the money part. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they have a lot of potential and they have a lot of leadership and they have a lot of success in other areas. They think that they are not successful because they are not the millionaires or they are not the billionaires. No, maybe that's not your call. So I always ask this, especially, and I have thrown this question to millionaires and to billionaires. Can you please put your hand up? Who of you have been invited to the White House? Who of you been recognized for helping your community? Who are you have written 20 books, 30 books, or 50 books? Who are you are impacting with education, with pay and with no pay? You hardly will see one hand up there. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. So success can come in so many forms. But is the person that is having that success that need to recognize it and everything will be okay?
Absolutely. You got to do your part and be of service to the community. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're running short on time. I appreciate you very much. I know you have, we could probably do another 2-3 hours, but we do have to cut the time short. Let me know any other projects you have. Where can they get a hold of you? All your social media, por favor.
Yes, you can contact me on Miguel Martin, miguelmartin.info of information, miguelmartin.info. That's my personal webpage. Mm-hmm. The organization webpage is miguelmartineducationcenter.com. And we have other organizations like Mujer de Éxito, where we help specifically women. We also have a organization that help kids, you know, and believing in themselves and start seeing their potential. We call it Niños Exitosos. Mm-hmm. We also help authors, new authors, that would like to write and publish their books, you know.
Latinos
and English too.
In English,
yeah. Yes. Under Asociación de Escritores. We also believe in entrepreneurship. So we have resources to help anybody, especially women or young people, that nobody's helping them. Nobody is there to mentor them, to inspire them, to guide them
right.
in entrepreneurship. And, ¿cómo se dice último, pero no último?
Lastly, but not last.
Is the spiritual part. Mm-hmm. We also believe in God. We believe in faith. We believe in the Bible. So we also have resources to help those that have lost their, maybe they don't believe or maybe they lost connection with God or they need that help, that spiritual help. We are there to help them.
Awesome. Saludos. Any saludos? Anybody you would like to give any shout outs that, you know, helped you through your path or just anybody in general? Shout outs.
Maybe three persons. One would be my mother, Marta. I love her.
Saludos, Marta.
Yes, Marta, Martita. Mm-hmm. I will also say thank you to a teacher that inspired me when nobody believed in me. His name is Oscar, el profe Oscar. And the third person will be my wife.
Your wife.
Yes, Margarita Anguiano. And there's a fourth one, mm-hmm. which is together with my wife, which is my daughter. Her name is Genesis, but we call her La Musita. I call her La Musa, La Musita, mm-hmm. which in Greek means inspiration. So thank you to them.
Awesome. What is an important lesson that you learned when you were doing everything that you were doing that you would tell your younger self that will help somebody that's listening?
Listen to counsels. I believe that counsels are more powerful than a class in the university. Because in the university or the academic world, which is okay, I believe in it, but if I have to choose, I will not go for that one first. Mm-hmm. They are just reading, and you know, they have to give you a lecture. But the person that give you a counsel, consejo, the person that give you a counsel, they are talking by experience, and there's a magic in that action of giving a counsel. is not just the counsel, it's also the person seeing potential in you, and not only potential, they also want to help you to accomplish either your goals or take you to a better position or place in life.
Awesome. And lastly, this was a little bit more, it's a little bit more deeper. Usually when I wake up, I have a saying, I'm not immortal, I am mortal, and I will die one day. Not to scare me or freak me out, but to realize that we're not here for a long time. Even though I understand that you have, you know, you created your organization, that it probably I leave you at the end of the day, when everything's said and done, when I wish you a long, prosperous life. However, thank when you. Everything's said and done, what do you want people to feel or think about your life?
So I have a statement, mm-hmm. which says, I will say it in Spanish. Creo en mí, por eso estoy aquí.
I believe in me, that's why I'm here.
And, you know, it's a powerful statement. And you may say, well, Miguel, but you cannot die. Yes, but I will still be alive. And believe me, brother, hermano, mm-hmm. créeme. Que yo ya me puedo morir. I can die. I'm ready. I'm okay. Because I wrote my 30 books. My challenge is to write 160 books. Why? I don't know. I just have that number.
Yeah.
But the way, if you believe in a legacy, you have to leave something for generations. And that's one of the main reasons I love to be an author. Because that's the best way to leave a legacy for generations. So yes, creo en mí, por eso estoy aquí. So I have in three parts. Creo en mí, por eso estoy aquí. Mm-hmm. Translation?
I believe in me, that's why I'm here.
Creo en Dios, por eso estoy aquí.
I believe in God, that's why I'm here.
Creo en ti, por eso estoy aquí.
I believe in you, that's why I'm here.
Eso es Miguel Martín.
Awesome. Gracias.
Latino.
Muchísimas gracias. I mean, I know Christy Lux was the one that told me about you. Mm-hmm. She told me you were amazing. She spoke very highly of you whenever she was telling me. And I started doing my work. As you can tell, some of the things that I researched.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
might not.
Yeah, I can notice that. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome. You, thank you. But I want to make sure that I know who I'm talking about and be educated on what you're doing. At the same time, tell your story. And you're right. What I'm doing here is sharing every single walk of life of showing the Latinos the what we are doing, not yeah. just the regular workers or this and that, but the examples that we can give of people that are doing, whether it be a young entrepreneur or be an artist or be an author or be somebody that made it even higher.
Yes.
And because of everything that I've seen and the work you've been doing, again, I know that the White House already had you in there, but to me, definitely you are a global Latin factor. So Miguel Martin, you are a global Latin factor. Thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you to Chris Lux. And I wish the best. I wish, you know, that your community will appreciate these interviews, these podcasts, that if you really take it, it's like bringing hundreds of books in one story or years of experience in one story, that if you catch one thing mm-hmm. of any questions or answer and you practice it, you apply it, or you inject it in your life, believe me that you will have a better life. And thank you for your service. Thank you, you know, for believing in us too. Because one thing that I see, not just in Latinos, is that a lot of people only relate themselves to people that are so successful because they want to have a good image. Mm-hmm. But we also have to bring those people that are in the process, you know, because that will encourage them to do better and more. And thank you for having me in your program.
It's a pleasure. This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast. Remember to subscribe. Remember to subscribe. And remember, we are just like you. We're people. We are the spice in this melting pot. That it is the world. Till next time. Thank you. Thank you very much for checking out another episode of the Global Latin Factor Podcast. Subscribe to the channel. You are very important. And it means a lot to us whenever you subscribe and hit the bell so you can know when we release new episodes. Again, it makes a big difference to us and we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Vigo. Walks like a pedo, but in fact he's a flamingo. Coming to Havana, and he's from Puerto Rico. On a pirate ship, he don't know where do we go.